This is photographer Nigel Barker, and you're listening to Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James. Cheers.
This episode is sponsored by our friends at FreshBooks. The weather is better, and if you're a freelance photographer or a small business owner, you'd much rather be out in it shooting rather than dealing with paperwork, right? And that's where the cloud-based accounting software from FreshBooks comes in. To sign up for your 30-day free trial, go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the how did you hear about us section. Thank you, FreshBooks, for your support. Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 96. Shooting the Olympics in Rio and trying not to get robbed. In this episode, safety concerns for photographers shooting the Olympics in Rio. Getty gets sued for the second time in a week. Sony may be getting ready to drop a 16 to 35mm G Master, and I finally pick a camera system. Doubts about Kit Sentry and F-Stop Gear's future. And Nigel Barker is looking for the top photographer. All that and more in episode 96 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Nigel, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. You know, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone into photography that doesn't recognize that voice or the name Nigel Barker. The noted fashion photographer served as photographer and judge on 17 seasons of America's Next Top Model with Tyra Banks. He's the host of The Gentleman's Code on SiriusXM Channel 102, a really great guy by all accounts. And now he's the host of a 5-episode series set to air on Adorama TV called Top Photographer. They're in search of 5 participants for this show, and as I publish this on August 7th, 2016, you have just 5 days to submit yourself to be considered before that August 12th deadline. Filming in New York City takes place across 11 days beginning September 12th, 2016, is open to U.S. residents, and the grand prize is worth $50,000. You have nothing to lose by submitting yourself, and this is a great opportunity, so go on over to adorama.com/G/top-photographer or hit our show notes for the link. Now, if you want to see what ridiculously good photography looks like, you'll want to hit his site at nigelbarker.tv. And if you're like me, your guilty pleasure was watching ANTM, hey, many of us learned about posing models better and other tidbits from watching that show. So you know just how great Nigel is. He's a really busy guy, of course, and I'm happy he took the time to record an intro for this show. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 96 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you hitting that subscribe button, making sure you get every episode, as well as telling your friends on social media and elsewhere, and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. I think that if you follow the news, you know that Brazil is a wonderful country, but unfortunately has had issues with crime that never seem to be getting better. I have quite a few friends in that country, as well as many listeners there, and they tell me all the time how bad it's gotten. So it's really no surprise that there in Rio, leading up to the Olympic Games, that it has been a disaster, and photographers are easy targets with all the gear that they have on them. As you've heard me say many times here before on the show, no one else is walking around with thousands of dollars of stuff hanging off of them, often distracted as we have our eye to the viewfinder. And who else is such an easy target like that, I ask you? When I was a photojournalist, I was keenly aware of this and did my best to remain as aware of my surroundings as possible. But remember, criminals wait for their opportunity. They don't let you know ahead of time that they're going to rob you. They choose when to strike. There's no advance warning. They wait for you to be distracted, and then they take their opportunity. It happens when they say it happens. Again, insurance. It's a good thing. It's better to have and not need than need and not have, as they say. Well, the opening ceremony hadn't even happened when News Corp photographer Brett Costello got robbed in broad daylight with plenty of people around. And as a result, the thief made off with $40,000 US in gear. I know, right? That is a lot of money. News Corp, of course, has insurance and the gear will be replaced, but many robberies end with the victim sustaining injuries or even losing their lives. Everyone wants to be a hero and look macho and put up a fight. But guess what? Your gear is being separated from you no matter what. And if someone has a gun or a knife on you, that's just not going to end very well. Just let them have the gear. Remember, insurance, it will take care of it. But you're going to need an inland marine policy to get exact dollar value. Otherwise, you're going to be shopping on the used market to replace that stuff. Keep that in mind. Now, Costello was lucky, of course. They just made off with his gear. They didn't harm him. He's going to be okay. I'm sure he got replacement gear, and he's right now shooting the Olympics, no problem. But still, not a very pleasant thing to have happen to you when you're there shooting the Olympics. As he told the Courier-Mail, a young woman approached him in a coffee shop asking for help, and in just 10 short seconds, his bag was taken, put in a car, and disappeared. He tells them, quote, "I'm gutted and I feel stupid that I wasn't wise to their plan. I know that I'll probably never see my bag or gear again," end quote. I have friends over there right now covering the games, and they're taking as many precautions as they can, but they say they don't feel as safe as they should in Rio, definitely not like they did in London and in other cities. There's now video online of this crime going down, and amazingly, the photographer himself caught the crook. He recognized him as he was entering one of the venues. But if you want to see video of an incident that happened in St. Petersburg, Russia in 2011 involving multiple thieves, you definitely want to hit the show notes for episode 96 at petapixel.com/podcast. In it, you'll see the photographer and his wife walking through a parking lot. Five people surround him. Two of the men wave something in front of him, which distracts him and blocks the view he has of his camera and his lens, as one of the men reaches under, detaches the lens, then hands it off to another man who calmly walks away with it in his messenger bag. Two other men distract him from behind, and the victim and his wife had no idea which of the five men, all heading in different directions now, had his expensive lens. It's impossible to watch this video just once and see what all five people are doing here. You're going to have to watch it several times and watch each player individually to see the role that they play in this well-orchestrated robbery. It's amazing. The victim never had a chance. It's nearly impossible to defend against something like this. You know, there's already been enough controversy in Rio as it is, and you think that organizers there would make sure that photographers who are the most visible targets for robbery would have some better protection, but they haven't. But then, of course, you protect the photographers, and the thieves will turn on tourists who are also bringing cameras with them. So it's really a no-win situation here. Rio is not one of the safest places on earth and hasn't been for a long, long time. If you look at crime statistics, you'll see that. And I'm sorry for those who live in Rio, but you guys already know this. Now, thankfully for photographers in most parts around the world, you're significantly safer than Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, right now. But it bears repeating that steps should be taken to be as safe as you can be. And ensure your gear. Próximo. That's Portuguese, by the way, for next. That's what they speak in Brazil. Back in March 2015, Kit Sentry, a security-centric bag system, raised over $27,000 with a Kickstarter campaign. But now it looks like that product and the company behind it, F-Stop Gear, may be gone or on its way out the door. It's really hard to say these days. All postings to social media stopped a few weeks ago as I record this, and Resource Magazine has published a rather lengthy report which states that F-Stop Gear is, quote, "falling apart at the seams," end quote. The first sign of trouble was Kit Sentry being vapor for well over a year now, and the lack of communication between the company and the 227 backers who made up the $27,000 raised. See? Kickstarter, not a store. This is what I've been talking about, folks. Now, one backer told the Petapixel mothership, quote, "F-Stop Gear has delivered no tangible updates and by all accounts has robbed 227 people of $27,039. They were estimated to deliver the main product of the project nearly 10 months ago. Potential buyers should be actively warned that F-Stop Gear considers highway robbery acceptable. F-Stop Gear is an established brand, and folks simply don't know this is going on," end quote. He shared with the mothership two campaign updates that only backers can see, and in a September 21st, 2015 update, they stated that their CEO was still looking into, quote, "factory options," end quote, And in the very next update, about 2.5 months later, they blamed issues having to do with their patent, yet projected that units would be shipping in spring of 2016. Well, we're now into summer. You may recall that other companies such as Trigger Trap have had issues which caused a product not to launch. In their case, it's promising ADA trigger, and that was after raising close to $500,000, but they're still around and they did their best to make things right to its backers. Kit Sentry, on the other hand, doesn't appear to be materializing anytime soon, and an unnamed source close to the company tells Resource Magazine that there's a deep-rooted reason, that was his words, why the company is allegedly failing, and that its founder is, quote, a man of many faces, end quote. That source claims that after the company took off, the owner concentrated on his lifestyle and side businesses rather than focusing on F-stop gear and making sure that Kit Sentry would actually become a thing. Allegedly, F-Stop is, quote, millions and millions in debt, end quote, and went from 15 employees down to just one in the U.S. and is headed toward bankruptcy. That's what this report is alleging, at least. Now, the Petapixel mothership reached out to F-Stop for comment, but unfortunately, they declined to give an official statement. And I think that speaks volumes, actually. Now is your chance to tell everybody what's going on, and you decide not to say anything. I mean, everyone is saying that you're nearly non-existent and soon to be gone, but you have no comment. And that's all I need to know personally. Now, one of their key people, designer Ian Miller, posted on his Instagram account 2 days ago as I record this, saying, quote, "My days at F-Stop Gear have officially come to an end. I have not been working for almost a month now, and today was officially the last day. I still wish the best for the company and friends," end quote. So who knows what's going on over there? You know, he's wishing them the best, and yet everyone else is saying that they're out of business or nearly out of business. So I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens in time here. But right now, no one seems to be super enthusiastic about this company. Next. As we always say here on the podcast, thanks to the amazing technology available to us, sharing our photos is so easy. And so is running your business if you use FreshBooks. Whether you make your money with photography or you have another small business, you'd rather be shooting and editing your photos than dealing with paperwork, right? I know I would. Well, FreshBooks solves this problem by making it incredibly fast and easy. Their amazingly simple cloud-based invoicing solution keeps your cash flow details all in one place so you know exactly who you've invoiced, who's paid, who hasn't, and what your income is. And their FreshBooks mobile app is awesome. It lets you take pics of your receipt and organize them later so you have them all ready to go come tax time. Do yourself a favor and check out FreshBooks. You'll be more prepared, less stressed, and you can get back to enjoying your life and doing what you love most. Amazingly, on average, FreshBooks users get paid a full 2 weeks faster when accepting online payments. They cut 2 days a month of administrative tasks, and they double the revenue in the first 24 months. More time shooting means more time to make money rather than shuffling papers. And right now, FreshBooks is offering a free 30-day trial to our listeners. Just go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you so much, FreshBooks. Sony, as we know, has had a couple of incredible years in an industry that is struggling. I mean, just ask Nikon, for instance. They've released updates to already astounding cameras, and earlier in 2016 announced their G Master line of full-frame lenses for their E-mount, which people seem to universally love. I mean, they're great, great glass. And if you're to believe the rumor coming out of Sony Alpha Rumors, the next lens in the G Master line will be a 16-35mm f2.8. A very desirable lens, if true, and I think it is. I mean, I have no reason to believe that they wouldn't release a classic lens like that. It just makes sense. Assuming that this lens is coming, it would join the 24-70 2.8, a 70-200 2.8, and that incredible 85mm f1.4. There's no word when this lens would be available, nor how much it would cost, but you gotta figure it's gonna be about $2,000 US or higher, because that's what Sony does. They come out with these amazing lenses with amazingly high price tags. Since the ginormous Photokina show in Cologne, Germany is coming up next month in September 2016, don't be surprised if that's when we see Sony drop this lens. A lens which further fleshes out Sony's E-mount lineup. You know, Sony has a long way to go, but every year that goes by, it gets harder and harder for the haters to cite the lens lineup as a reason to steer clear of the Sony mirrorless cameras. Now, for me personally, the lens lineup really wasn't an issue, just as it isn't for many who choose Sony E-mount bodies. So, nearly 2 years ago, I bought the awesome Sony FE 70-200mm f4 GOSS, a great lens. Now, it's not f2.8 fast, and it was workable on my A6000. But workable just isn't cutting it for me anymore. Now, don't get me wrong, I love the Sony E-mount system, and the A6000 isn't going anywhere. I'm hanging on to that, and it certainly won't be the last Sony body that I buy, but for now, it will be. As I've said in recent weeks here on the show, the honeymoon is over. It sure was fun shooting sports with that A6000 because it's such an unassuming camera. Everyone just dismisses it by looking at it. And that 70-200 is a great lens, even though it's f4. Capturing images that were comparable or better to what others on the sidelines got with their serious gear, you know, DSLRs in other words, was a great joy. It was a lot of fun to be able to be like, look what I got with this little camera. But I'm over that now. Okay, so granted, I was a bit of a ringer. You know, as a former photojournalist whose journalism awards were mostly for sports photography, it wasn't exactly a fair fight. But you know what? It was still a lot of fun. Back then, in October of 2014, few were shooting with mirrorless cameras, and you just didn't see them on sidelines. The newspaper and wire guys all scoffed. You should have seen the looks on their faces. They're like, yeah, right. Until they saw the photos on the back of the LCD. Now, many of them own mirrorless systems. You know, personally, they're not shooting it professionally. And when it comes to sports, they're still shooting their DSLRs, of course, but they have a lot more interest in the mirrorless systems and where things are going with that. So this is why I've decided that for what I love to shoot, which is sports, even though I'm not a big sports fan, like at all, at this time in August 2016, I need a DSLR for that. There isn't a mirrorless body out there right now in existence today that can keep up with me and allow me to shoot at my skill level. There just isn't. And with sports season starting up, I'm talking about prep and college here, I looked at the available options to me and decided on a body that intrigued me ever since it was introduced, and that's the Nikon D500. You know, I've never been able to part with my old and amazing Nikon D700. I also have the D7200 and still have 5 lenses in Nikon F mount, 2 of which are the Nikon 70-200mm f2.8 VR and the beast that is the Sigma 120-300mm f2.8, both great sports lenses. If I was still a photojournalist or shooting for a wire service or shooting sports for a client, then the go-to on the Nikon side these days, of course, would be the D5 and long lenses like the 400mm f2.8. But I'm not doing those mission-critical things, so the Nikon D500 will do nicely. In fact, it has the exact same autofocus system as the way more expensive D5, so you gotta love that. Like the D700 was basically a D3, the D500 is pretty darn close to a D5, except for it's an APS-C size crop body versus full frame, of course. You know, it's not the fortified beast that is the D5, but I don't need that kind of stuff. I'm not shooting in crazy conditions anymore. So for my uses, I've decided that this sports season, the Sony A6000 just won't cut it, nor will the Nikon D7200. And while I enjoy shooting with both of those bodies, it just isn't the same as when I have a body in my hands that meets or exceeds my skill level. It's like knowing that you can fly a fighter jet and you have all that training, but now you fly a small Cessna. It's fun, you're still flying, but you just can't do what you know you're capable of doing behind the controls of an F-16. Now, my D500 has arrived, and thus far, I'm very pleased with it. The autofocus is insane. Remember, it's the exact same AF system as in the $6,500 D5, but it's only $2,000. If you want to buy one, of course, or anything else on Amazon, go to lensshark.com, hit my Amazon link, and they toss me a few bucks. I'd greatly appreciate it. Hey, every little bit helps our efforts here, right? That autofocus in the D500 locks onto a subject and just does not want to let go. And that's something that's going to be incredibly helpful for sports. Now, I'm looking forward to working the heck out of the D500 and seeing how it performs in the horrible lighting conditions at high school gyms and football fields, as well as college football fields and gyms as well. And if you follow me on social media where I'm Lens Shark, you're going to see those photos. Now, like I said, I still love shooting the Sony mirrorless stuff, but as they say, you've got to pick the right tool for the job. And right now, my A6000, even the newer A6300, isn't close to being as capable as the Nikon D500, and Sony's E-mount lineup isn't anywhere near close to being ideal for sports. That's going to change down the road, but we're not down the road. I need something right now. I'm going to miss the electronic viewfinder, of course, with its instant feedback on exposure, thus eliminating chimping on the LCD. And reviewing your photos in that EVF sure beats looking at the LCD in bright sunlight, but I'm going to have to get over those things. So there you go. I've made my decision. I'm going to be shooting mostly a Nikon DSLR for the foreseeable future. Still going to be using my mirrorless stuff, just not for sports and a lot of other things, actually. And that's especially interesting when you consider that I'm not entirely convinced that Nikon's future is especially bright. But right now, the D500 is the right tool for the job, and it's going to do beautifully. Next. Back in episode 94, I told you about the amazing $1 billion copyright lawsuit against Getty Images by photographer Carol M. Highsmith. Well, barely a week later, Getty is being sued yet again, and this time it's by independent press agency, Zuma Press. In this suit, which was discovered by Ars Technica, a staggering number of images are alleged to have been misappropriated by Getty. According to the complaint filed by Zuma, quote, Getty has quickly become the content creator's worst detractor, recklessly aggregating content, acquiring more images than it can responsibly administer, and belligerently enforcing whatever imperfect rights it may have in those photos. Getty has been carelessly and recklessly acquiring content, not doing due diligence, and not taking adequate measures to prevent infringement, as well as falsifying/removing proper copyright management information. In fact, its aggressive acquisition schedule is possible only at the expense of others' rights. Getty has shown that it cannot and will not reform on its own accord. End quote. All right, so Zuma is basically saying that Getty grew too big too quickly, and their ability to vet the sheer volume of photos in their catalog is now, quote, difficult and improbable. End quote. The company says that Getty allegedly copied about 47,048 photos belonging to Zuma, then amazingly made them for sale through Getty and replacing Zuma's credit with Getty's. That is just amazing. You know, these are very serious allegations here. Incredibly serious in the area of copyright, and certainly not the best moments in Getty's long history. Who knows what the heck is going on over there, but how crazy is it that within a week, they've been sued for $1 billion, and now Zuma Press is suing them. That's just in 1 week. You know, Zuma didn't just whip this up after they heard about the billion-dollar lawsuit a week ago. This has been in the works for months now, so who knows what else is coming. Now, rather than asking for $1 billion, as in the Highsmith case, Zuma is asking for statutory damages of about $2,500 to $25,000 per infringement, a fraction of what's being asked in the other case, but still a crazy amount of money, tens of millions of dollars. The Petapixel mothership reached out to Getty Images for comment, but as of this recording, has yet to respond. So Getty now has two high-profile lawsuits against it with very serious charges. You know, they're in the business of licensing images, the granting of rights for pay. But if they're licensing images that they don't have the rights to license, that can't possibly be good for their business. Where does this end? I mean, are there going to be more suits against Getty coming up? You got to figure that people are looking into whether or not their images have been taken, allegedly, as well, right? I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 96 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, where I'm Lensshark. That's LENS. SHARK. And don't forget, if you want to help support this show, now's the time to head on over to FreshBooks, show them that you're supporting us, and take their 30-day free trial. They've got great software over there. Head on over to freshbooks.com/petapixel and make sure you enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Also, don't forget, if you make any purchases on Amazon, go to lensshark.com, hit the Amazon affiliate link over there, and then from then on, any shopping you do, whether it's camera equipment or whatever, we get a little bit of a cut of that. Doesn't add anything extra to the price of your purchase, and that's another way you can help support us here. Also, if you're listening to this shortly after I release it on August 7th, 2016, don't forget you have until this Friday, August 12th, to submit yourself for Adorama TV's Top Photographer. $50,000 main prize. You get to be on their TV show, which is actually online, but that's okay. So if you're in the United States and you're available for that, you definitely want to go ahead and submit yourself. You got nothing to lose. I mean, come on. And a $50,000 prize. Amazing. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 97. Well, it's f8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.
So Getty now has two... Sounds like I'm doing karate. You know, I've never... Come on, motorcycles. I hate motorcycles so much. Go away. Go motorcycle your way over to Pokemon, please. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. And there's a motorcycle in the background.